voices as we sing together. I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God. It's still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first.
Once again, we're so glad you're here today. We're so glad that you decided to worship with us this morning. Hey, how many of us have been enjoying our At the Movie series? Yeah, come on. Hey, free soda and popcorn? Are you kidding me? Now, last week, Pastor John shared with us how using recognizable stories as a way to illustrate and help people point towards the truth, spiritual truth, is a biblical concept. In fact, we get to see Jesus doing that throughout Scripture. He's using parables to point people toward spiritual truth. And one of those parables we can find in Luke chapter 15. Now, here's the setting for that. Sinners are gathering around Jesus to hear him. But then we get to see Pharisees and teachers of the law. They begin to mutter and say, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, again, they're referring to Jesus. In verse 4, chapter 15, we get to see Jesus' response And this is what he says. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country to go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, church, this same posture, I just want to invite you to lift your hands with me. And friend, you and I were that lost sheep. Our Savior came to this earth to find us, to rescue us, to save us. And if you find yourself in that place today, perhaps you feel lost, I want to encourage you to lift your hands this morning. And again, there's nothing magical behind that. In fact, it is just an act of surrender before the King of Kings. Come and have your way, Lord.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Every voice would say,
"Only overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found." Don't deserve it, still you get yourself away. Only overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Your foe, still your love apart from me. You have been so, so good to me. Yeah. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me.
We thank you, Lord.
You have been so, so kind.
Hey, come on, we say.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you get yourself away.
up our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things.
Yes, Lord.
You have done great things.
Come on, let me hear you sing it out. We say,
oh, heal.
Yeah, come on, lift your voice today. He is faithful, come on. We dance in your freedom.
Yes and amen, you will do great things. God, you do great things, yeah.
Come on, sing it out.
Oh, heal your heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every devil and break every chain, oh God. You have to pray.
Take your seat and check out the screens.
Well, hello, Northwoods family. Welcome to week two of our series, At the Movies. This week, we are moving on to a new movie, and I'll tell you what it is. Not yet, okay? First, I've got some important things to let you know about, all right? And the first most important thing is new people. All right, if you're new here today, either you're sitting in those seats at a campus or you're joining us somewhere online, we want to say welcome, 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 and we also want to meet you. We love having new people here, but we want to see new people get connected, meet others in the Northwoods family. So if you're brand new, pull out your phone, and I want you to text that number coming up on the screen. That's going to get you connected with one of our pastors. and start getting you grounded and rooted in this community that is Northwoods Church. All right? Now, the rest of you that are, you're here every Sunday, you're regulars, you know the drill. Pull out that connection card right there in the Northwoods app. You can get more information about classes. You can throw in some prayer requests, any comments you've got, things that you need. That tool is there to serve you, all right? So make sure you touch that. And yes, you can do that while I'm talking, all right? Pull it out right now if you can. Also, do not forget that if you're giving today, we got plenty of different ways for you to give. You can give online, by mail, by check, at the back of the auditorium if you're there in person. All those ways are there for you to give. And honestly, we could not do any of this. All this series that we're in right now, we could not do it apart from your faithful and generous giving. So we always love to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you give. Now, two other things I need to let you know about. One, speaking of money, is Financial Peace University. We call it FPU for short. All right. It's a 9-week class that we're going to offer here on Sundays at church. And basically, you're going to be equipped with biblical principles and practical steps to steward and manage your finances. People always have all kinds of questions. What does God think about money? How would God want me to manage my money? And this class will help you do that. If you've never been through it, I highly recommend it. I think I've been through it twice now. Okay, I needed it. So sign up for that class. You will love it. It's right here on the Peoria campus. And then secondly, we've partnered with the Dream Center right here in Peoria for their Serve the City event. It's a single day event here in 2022. They do it every year where they gather people together to serve various nonprofit groups right here in the Peoria area. And we actually have representatives from the Dream Center there on the Peoria campus today. So if you want more information, you have questions, or you want to get involved, you feel like the Lord's tugging on your heart to get involved and to serve, go to the second Sunday sack lunch table after service. The representatives will be there. They can help you out. Okay? Now, I think that's all I've got for you. So today, here's the movie. Wait for it. The Bad Guys. All right? Our senior pastor has pulled out some biblical truth from that movie. I know you're going to love it. So I'm going to go get popcorn, maybe a slushy. Okay. While I do that, you guys settle in, get your notes, Bibles if you got them, get ready to get some truth. Later.
On the outside, the five of you are villains, predators,
George!
Remorseless sociopaths.
Oh, stop it. You're making me blush.
We're the bad guys. And this is the crew.
Mr. Snake. Serpentine, safe cracking machine. Imagine Houdini, but with no arms.
Jackpot. Yes.
Miss Tarantula.
Our in-house tech wizard.
Where'd you learn to do that?
Mostly YouTube.
Mr. Piranha.
He's brave.
Crazy.
What's up, Papa?
And Mr. Shark, master of disguise. His greatest trick, stealing the Mona Lisa disguise as the Mona Lisa. Ho!
And rounding out the crew is me,
the big bad wolf.
We may be bad, but we're so good at it.
Arrest them!
We're out of here.
So long, suckers!
Don't win no win.
Well, this just got a little weird.
No!
Wolf!
If only we were given a chance to be anything more than criminals.
If you want to stay out of jail, you need to go good.
What are you doing?
We're gonna pretend to go good. The bad guys become the good guys so we can stay the bad guys. You know what I'm saying?
It's fantastic! Wolf, you're a genius!
Welcome to the first day of the rest of your best life.
Look, it's a cat stuck in a tree!
What does your heart tell you to do? A good person would
smack it!
Skin it!
Stab it!
Saute
it! It's so obvious. I want you to save it.
Oh, right.
Right.
Here kitty.
The good guys.
We're more than just scary villains. They love us.
You're such a good boy.
Maybe I don't want to be a bad guy.
No, no, no. We'll always be bad guys.
try something simpler. I'm going to give you a push pop.
Just for me?
No, to share.
This is going to taste extra sweet.
Nope! Sucker!
Is it? I'll teach you to share!
Totally worth it.
Hey, well, welcome to week two of At the Movies. If you were with us last week, you know that we are using some of Hollywood's biggest hits to illustrate and point out biblical truth. And today, just as you saw, we're going to use the movie The Bad Guys. Now, just show of hands here, how many people have actually seen this movie? I'm guessing those of you who have. Okay, some of you. All right, good amount of you. All right, I watched this movie because I have young kids. And so as I was watching this movie with my kids, you know, there's always some things they put in there, you know, that maybe parents might catch. But one of the things I recognized about this movie as I was watching it with my children was that there were several moral lessons they tried to convey through the movie. And I appreciated that. A couple of them were like, you know, earthly material things can never truly satisfy. Another one they tried to convey was the motives for why we do things matter. But then there was this big theme that ran throughout the movie that was all about change. And the question was, can bad guys change into good guys? And so you see that all throughout the movie. And you know, as I think about change, we're going to talk a lot about change today. I think every single one of us here this morning could say there's some area of our life that we desire to change. At some level, we'd all say, you know, we desire to change for the better. Maybe it's a change in your connection with the Lord. Maybe it's a change in a particular habit, a change in your health, as we all sit around and eat popcorn and drink soda today. Change in your health. Maybe a change in the way you parent, a change in the way you schedule, a change in the way you spend your money, your career. You know, I think every single one of us listening today could say there is some change that we would like to make for the better. But here's the problem, and I'm guessing you found this to be true, is that often the things in us that we most want to change are the things that are most resistant to change. You know what I'm talking about. This is the stuff in you that you want to change, but it's stubborn. It rebels and resists your efforts to change. Often the changes we most want to make are the changes that are the hardest to make. But have you ever asked this question? Why is that? Why are some changes so hard to make? Well, I want to give you two reasons that I've found to be true in my life, and you see these in the movie The Bad Guys as well. Here's two reasons why I believe that some changes are so hard to make. Here's reason number one. This is why some changes are so hard to make. Because of what I'll call the identity problem. Meaning, we can often confuse our identity with our problems, issues, and defects. So it would sound something like this. It's just like me to be. And then you fill in the blank. It's just like me to be scared of water, or it's just like me to be awkward around people. It's just like me to start a project and then never finish it, right? We all have a way that we would probably complete that phrase. It's just like me to be. And what happens is when we do this, those identity statements become self-fulfilling prophecies that we live out in our life. For example, in The Bad Guys, there's a clip very early on where they have just robbed a bank, and so they're in a chase with the police and the cops. They're in their car, and as always in every good kids movie, there's always some amount of bathroom humor. And so you'll see in this clip as it starts that there's this green gas coming out of the car. That's because the piranha has some gas issues in the movie. But as they're fleeing the cops, you hear them share why they have kind of chosen this lifestyle. Check out this clip.
I breathed it in.
Yeah, they're a bit eccentric, but when you're born us, you don't exactly win many popularity contests. Do I wish people didn't see us as monsters?
8 legs, 8 times
the
cardio.
Sure I do.
What's up, Papa?
But these are the cards we've been dealt, so we might as well play them.
Jackpot!
Now, I want you to think about their crew for a moment. Just think about the animals in their crew. The producers made sure to choose animals that most people are scared of. A wolf, a snake, a spider, a piranha, and a shark. All animals most people are scared of tend to avoid. And you heard the wolf say it. Do I wish people didn't view us as monsters? Sure. But you know what? This is the reality. So why not play the cards we have been dealt? You see, at the identity level, the wolf admits his crew has embraced the idea that it's just like us to be monsters. That's how people view us, and so it must mean we are. We're monsters, and so let's play the hand we've been dealt. And that identity is now what is driving their actions, their feelings about themselves. Now, let's talk about this on a spiritual level here for a moment, okay? Because the Bible says that we have an enemy, Satan and the forces of darkness. And the Bible says that he is a liar. He's the father of lies. Look at John 8:44 with me. It says this. It says about Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So I want you to understand, you have an enemy. And the primary weapon he is going to use against you is deception and lies. And you know what? He's going to lie to you at the level of your identity. Because if I can lie to you at the level of your identity is going to drive how you feel about yourself and how you act, how you behave. So he's going to lie to you at the identity level. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be a good enough mom or a good enough dad. You'll never be able to change. You'll never be able to overcome that habit, this sin pattern. You can't change. You know, I've appreciated what Pastor Rick Warren said on this topic. This has always stuck with me, and I would encourage you to write this down or put it in your phone. He said this. He said, behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie I'm believing. I'll say that again. Behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie I'm believing. So some change is hard because we're not dealing with a behavior problem. We're dealing with an identity problem. So why is some change so hard? Because of the identity problem. Here's another reason for you. Because of what I'll call the payoff problem. The payoff problem. Anytime there's a deeply ingrained pattern or habit that has gone on for a long time, you can bet there's a payoff. There's something, the reason this thing has continued in your life is because there's something you get out of it. And sometimes the things we get out of it is it fulfills a need, or sometimes it helps us to numb the pain we feel inside. So in the movie, the bad guys, they knew that robbing banks, stealing from people, wasn't really what they should be doing, but on some level, they enjoyed it because of the payoff, the money, the nice things, the nice cars, the nice hideout. And also, so they enjoyed it because of what they got out of it. They got money, but the payoff was not only the money, but also numbing of some of their pain. I thought it was interesting in this clip that I'm going to show you. They're in their hideout. And after they've just finished this big heist, and they sit down to listen to, okay, what's the news got to say about us today? And the governor comes on, and she says a few things that I think are revealing. Let's check it out.
Let's see what they're saying about us today.
What up? It's Tiffany Fluff at Channel 6 Action News. The bad guys have struck
guys,
again.
Guys, stop it. We're on TV.
Yet, once more that they are the most diabolical criminals of our time.
Ooh, diabolical. That's new.
Oh, this sounds like a cologne. Diabolical.
Just this heinous crime spree is the newly elected governor, Diane Foxington.
Governor?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Listen. We all know how dastardly the bad guys are.
You bet we are.
But more than anything, I feel sorry for them.
What?
These so-called bad guys are really just second-rate has-beens. behind their amateurish antics and, frankly, unoriginal capers, I mean, really, another bank, is nothing but a deep well of anger.
I ain't angry, you're angry!
Denial.
Not true!
And self-loathing.
The only one I self-loathe is you.
And those are holes that no amount of cash or priceless art can ever fill.
What's on the Food Network?
So, listen, for the bad guys, the payoff was material things. Money, famous paintings, nice hideout, nice cars. And listen, some things are hard to change because we enjoy the payoff we get that comes with it. For example, you know, you might say, this is one I think about a lot. You might say, you know, I hate that I scream at my kids so much, and I would love to stop screaming at my kids. So it goes like this. You say, hey, come on down for dinner. Hey, dinner's ready. Please come to dinner. Hey, dinner's ready. Get down here, right? Anybody ever done that before? Is it just me? I mean, you might not scream like that, but you know, right? And you say, you know, I hate to scream at my kids, but you know what? When I scream, I get their attention and everybody comes. And that's the payoff for me. So even though I want to stop screaming, when I scream, I get their attention and I enjoy the payoff. So I keep doing it, right? That's an example of a payoff. Other times, the payoff comes in numbing the pain we might feel. You heard the governor say it, right? The jobs they're pulling is it's numbing the anger and the self-hatred. You know, for us, for example, sometimes, you know, people might say, you know, I have a drug problem. No, you don't. Generally, when that goes on for a long time in someone's life, they don't have an alcohol and a drug problem. They have a pain problem that only the Lord can heal. But the alcohol, the substances they use are a way of numbing. The payoff is it numbs the deep pain they feel inside and helps them to forget the past. So when substances are being used, you don't have a substance problem. You have a pain problem that you need to address. You address that problem, the substances will go away. You won't need them. So many times, why is it so hard to change? Because of the identity problem and what I call the payoff problem. We see both of these things in the bad guys. But here's the good news. Just like in the movie, the bad guys were able to change, so change is possible for us. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people who encountered God, were transformed by him, and change, incredible changes happened in their lives. You know, you think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You know the song, right? Climbed up in a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, greedy tax collector. He cheated people. But when he met Jesus, he gave away half of his possessions to the poor, and he returned four times whatever he had cheated from people. That's a pretty big change. The Apostle Paul used to be Saul before he met the Lord, used to kill Christians, had an encounter with the Lord. He goes from Christian killer to Christian preacher. There are stories all over the Bible of change. And throughout the Bible, there are principles of change that I believe can help any single person, no matter how deeply ingrained the pattern or habit. So many times in the Bible, I thought this was interesting, the word walk, you'll see the word walk all the time in the Bible, many times in the New Testament. The word walk is used to talk about how we walk towards maturity in Christ, aka change for the better. And so this morning, I want to look at four different passages where the word walk is used and show you four principles that help us to walk towards change. And then we'll use the bad guys to illustrate it. So here's the first principle. Principle number one, change happens when we walk in community. Change happens when we walk in community. We talked about this last week. The need for community. The need, last week, as we were watching Ford versus Ferrari, we talked about the need for a pit crew. People who do life with you. People who encourage you, inspire you. People who can tell you the hard truth. When we try to change on our own, change becomes much more difficult. and much more complicated. We need people who can walk with us towards change and help set the example for us. Look at this passage in Philippians 3:17. The Apostle Paul said, brothers, and we could say sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk, there's that word, who walk according to the example you have in us. So listen, Paul's saying you want to grow, you want to change, become more Christ-like, you got to walk with those who are setting the example. You need to walk in community. So how do you walk towards change? You walk in community. Walk with those who can set the example for you. And you know, we talked about this. The devil's main weapon against you is going to be lies. And you want to know when the easiest time to lie to you is and deceive you is when you're alone. It's much harder to deceive someone when they're in community, when they're in groups. But when you're alone, when you're by yourself, you are easily deceived. You know, in the movie, throughout the movie, we realize that change happens in community. The way they changed is they changed together. They were a group together. They changed in community. But not only did the crew need each other to change, they also needed people who could set the example for them, people who could coach them. Now, in the movie, there's this guinea pig, and guinea pigs are just, did anyone have a guinea pig growing up? Like, anytime I see that thing, I'm just like, ugh, we had a guinea pig, and I hated that thing. I don't know why we had it. But there was a guinea pig, and in the movie, he's named Professor Marmalade, and he pretends to be good in the movie, but in the end, he's really evil. And I was like, that, how fitting, because I just think all guinea pigs are, there's something evil about them. I'm sorry if you're a young person here today and you have a guinea pig or something like that. But anyways, he coached them. Now, there were some good things he did, even though he turned out to be bad. But he helped coach the bad guys in their journey. Here's how you go good. So I want you to watch this clip.
A push pop.
Great. Push pop just for me.
No, to share.
Why?
Well, on a fundamental level, it's about putting someone else's needs ahead of your own.
Oh, no. No way.
Snake.
All right.
This is going to taste extra sweet because I know how bad you want it.
Pop me, please.
Nope. Sucker!
That's it! I'll teach you to share!
I like sharing. It's yummy.
Totally worth it.
Well, that's terrifying. Let's try something simpler. A good person always pays attention to the needs of others. Now, here's a kindly frail grandma. Mr. Piranha, help grandma across the street.
Sure. I'll do this all the time.
Here you go, ma'am.
Oh, he is totally gonna blow it.
What was that? What do you say? You think I can't do this?
Maybe simpler?
Hey, look, it's a cat stuck in a tree.
It doesn't get much simpler than that. Now, what in this scenario would give you that good tingle?
Eating it? This is why I always carry two pieces of bread with me.
No, I want you to
smack it.
Skin it.
Stab it.
Saute.
Sing to it.
Save it. I want you to set this off so obvious. I want you to save it.
Oh, right.
Here.
Whoa, that cat is obviously defective.
What is wrong with you? You're going to give it a heart attack.
I'll handle this.
What's up, Papa?
So listen, change happens inside of community. We need people who can not only set the example for us, coach us, but we need to be around those who help us walk towards change. We need people ahead of us in our journey who can help us. You know, growing up, I was always drawn to basketball. Played a lot of basketball, but I also loved football, but I only played football. I loved watching it, but I only played football for 1 year, my eighth grade year. Now, in eighth grade, I was about the same height I am now, but I weighed about 100 pounds less. I was literally just a bag of bones. I was so skinny, like you did not want to see me in football pants. Like it was just like, what is that? But I learned very quickly that I could not tackle anyone. Like I would just bounce off people. I remember I would like throw myself at people. And I remember in one game, like I was playing safety and they threw the ball to this guy. I'm like, I'm gonna lay him out. Here I go, I'm running at him. And I just threw myself as hard as I could at him. I fell over and I remember looking up and just seeing him jump over me and keep going. Okay, so I had a very hard time tackling people on my own. But I learned that if I had people with me, I could bring someone down. If I had about four or five other people with me, yo, I could bring someone down. That's what we call team tackling. And listen, when you have a deeply ingrained pattern or habit, there are some things that you will never be able to tackle on your own. You need to team tackle on them, team tackle them. When you're team tackling your problems, your issues, those things come down a lot easier than when you're trying to tackle them on your own. So we need to walk in community. Change happens in community. Let's talk about another principle of change. Change happens, this is principle number two, when we walk in the newness of our mind. Change happens when we walk in newness of mind. The Apostle Paul talked about this in Ephesians, and this is all throughout the Bible when we talk about renewing our mind. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, "Now this I say and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk," there's the word walk, "as the Gentiles do." He's talking about people that are separated, alienated from the Lord. And how do they walk? In the futility of their minds. And then he goes on in verse 22, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Listen, you will never change until you change your thinking. All change starts right here in your mind, because your thoughts drive how you feel about yourself, and that in turn how you act. It all starts right here in your mind. You know, in the movie, there's a point where the wolf begins to start thinking that maybe he could change. Maybe he could go from being someone that people hate, scared of, to maybe people might love him. But he's thinking this over in his mind, but he continues to put on this facade when he's around the other guys that the only reason he's trying to be good is so he can get out of Professor Marmalade's like good training school and go back to being bad. But you can tell in the clip I'm about to show you that he's beginning to think differently. He's beginning to wrap his mind around the idea of being good. So after rescuing a helpless cat, he goes on to actually rescue that cat in the last scene, he heads to bed, and I want you to listen to this exchange he has with a snake.
"Hey, you still awake? You brought the cat in?"
Yeah. I'm just saving it up for later. Why, what's up?"
"I was just getting a little worried since you've kind of become a
what?
You know, teacher's pet, getting all cozy with Marmalade, your tail wagging and everything."
"Well, yeah, because it has to be believable."
"Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess so. As long as it's all part of the plan." "It is all part of the plan, isn't it?"
"Snake, buddy, who made the plan to begin with?"
"You did."
"So I'm the one who sticks to the plan the most, right?"
"Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. I guess that makes sense, yeah. But if the plan were ever to change, you'd tell me, right?"
"You have my word. Go bad
or go home."
"Hey, Snake."
"Yeah?"
"You ever wonder what it'd be like, the world loving us instead of being scared of us? You ever think about that?"
"Loving us?" "Yeah, right. I don't waste time thinking about stuff that's never gonna happen. Ugh, I can't wait for things to get back to normal.
So you hear there, the wolf is beginning to open his mind, maybe embrace a new way of thinking that maybe I could go good and maybe people would actually love me instead of being scared of me. The snake says, I don't even think about things like that, right? Because that's just not going to happen. Listen, change begins in the mind. This is key. Change will happen when we embrace a new way of thinking. In the Bible, we refer to that as the renewing of the mind. This is why you hear us over and over talk about the importance of spending time in God's word and declaring his truth over your life. Declaring his truth over your life. And as you spend time in his word and declare the word over your life, you will renew your mind and you will begin to walk in the newness of mind. I was thinking about this morning. Think about like social media, okay? Social media platforms curate content for you based upon what you like, what you follow. And so when I get on like Instagram, basically the only things, I see my friends, but I see things about Michael Jordan, I see things about the Packers, and I see clips of other preachers. They're curating content for me based upon the things that I've liked. And listen, you have to curate your thought life if you're going to renew your mind. If you aren't curating your thoughts, the enemy and the world will do it for you. And so curating your thoughts means, you know what, I'm going to intentionally get in God's word and I'm going to declare what God's word says about me, that I am beloved, that I belong to God, I'm a child of God, that I'm an overcomer, that I'm more than a conqueror. You have to continually do that. You have to curate your thought life so that becomes the feed of your mind. Again, I was watching, I was watching the Alabama-Tennessee game yesterday. And I was watching live TV, and sometimes the commercials come on. And sometimes there's some pretty weird commercials that come on. And so I'm like to my kids, I could be like, oh, don't watch. Or I can just change the channel. And so you know what? When you have a thought in your life, you'll never change. What do? You don't think, oh, man, I never. Change the channel. Go back to what God's word says. I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. And you keep doing that. You're curating your thoughts and you're renewing your mind based upon what God's word says. That's where change begins. It begins in your mind. And when you walk in newness of mind, your feelings, your actions will change. The Bible refers to that, like we said, renewing of the mind. So walking towards change happens when we walk in community, when we walk in newness of mind. And here's principle number three. Change happens when we walk in truth. When we walk in truth. John had a lot to say about this in his writings. You go to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. There's places where he says, I'm delighted to see that my children are walking in truth. He'd use that phrase, walking in truth. Here's another place where he talks about walking in the light, the truth. 1 John 1, 6 through 8 says, if we say we have fellowship with him talking about God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So John's saying, you want to grow in Christ's likeness? You want to put away old patterns and habits? It will require that you walk in the truth. And part of walking in the truth means facing the truth about yourself. Facing the truth about yourself. We see this in the movie as well. And the scene I'm about to show you, the wolf has just had his friends walk out on him because his desire to change has thrown off their plans, has got them put in jail and jeopardized their livelihood. And so as he drives away, now they've kind of broken out of jail at this point, they've been rescued. And so as he drives away with the governor, he finds out that she used to be a thief. She used to be the famed Crimson Paw. And she shares a story with the wolf about what it was that helped to change her ways. Let's watch this together.
Hey, you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
I'm very, very un-okay.
Just left the only friends I've ever had. What am I doing?
I know this isn't easy. Leaving everything behind.
Do you?
Yeah. I was the best thief in the world. Fast, fearless, inventive. I just had one thing left to steal.
The golden dolphin. So you went after it.
I didn't just go after it. I had it. And a clear escape route. But all I saw in the end was the tricky fox that they always told me I was. It changed everything. So now, instead of hurting people, I'm helping them. I'm still me. I'm just me on the right side. You're doing the right thing.
So there came a time, you saw it there, where she's stealing the Golden Dolphin Award, and she looks and she sees herself in the mirror. And she stops and looks at herself long enough to face the truth about herself. She came face to face with the fact that, you know what? Maybe I am acting like a tricky fox who steals things and hurts people. And facing the truth about herself, as you saw, is what got her on the path to change. And just like change began to happen for her, it will happen for us when we face the truth about ourselves. And in case you didn't know, I'm sure you know this, but I'll just say it. In case you didn't know, facing the truth about ourselves is often uncomfortable and pretty painful. I love what James Garfield, the 20th U.S. president, said when he picked up on Jesus' words, because Jesus said, "You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free." He added a line to it, and he said, "The truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable." That's a fact. But for there to be change, you must face the hard truth about yourself. And one of the ways that happens is by, like what we talked about, getting in God's word. That word is like a mirror. But it also happens by having people in your life who can help you to face the truth, who can speak truth to you in a loving way. Now, you don't need 25 different people speaking into your life. You need a few people speaking into your life. Now, you might say, I don't have those type of people in my life. And I used to say that too. That might be true, but my experience has been that oftentimes those people are already in our lives. We just fail to recognize them and capitalize on the opportunity. So let me give you a few characteristics to look for in what I'm going to call a truth teller, someone who can speak the truth to you in a loving way. So truth tellers, they embrace truth themselves. How are they going to speak truth to you if they don't embrace the truth themselves? Truth tellers engage with you. This is important. So often we think, you know, if I could just get someone that's in a, you know, a really high position, has a high level of influence, if I could get them to kind of be the person who speaks to me, then I would change. No, you don't need someone who made some big time influencer on Instagram. Those people probably don't even have time. We're chasing after them and don't have time to engage with us. No, who are the people who are already engaging with you? God's placed people in your life, if you will open your eyes to it, that are already engaging with you. And those are the people, many times, that God will use to speak truth into your life. So they embrace truth, they engage with you, they embody love. Apostle Paul said, speaking the truth in love. You don't want someone who's going to smash you over the head with truth. You want someone who's going to speak the truth to you in love. Do it gently. Then, number four, they care about your growth. And number five, they should have a relationship with Jesus Christ. How is someone going to help you grow to become more Christ-like if they don't know Jesus Christ? They need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we all need people who would tell us the truth and help us to face it and help us become more like Christ. So this is how we walk towards change. We walk in community. We walk in newness of mind. We walk in truth. And then here's principle number four. Change happens when we walk by the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians, here's the word walk again. But I say, here's that phrase, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So you want to change a deeply ingrained pattern or sinful habit? Walk by the Spirit. So let's talk about what it means to walk by the Spirit. You know, there's a few passages in the Bible that I have learned to pray, three passages in particular, and I want to share these with you, that are helping me to learn how to walk by the Spirit. I want to share these with you, and I promise you, if you will begin to put these into practice, you begin to make these a part of your prayer life, you also will learn to walk by the Spirit. So here's the first passage, Isaiah 11, chapter 2. I've actually taught an entire message on this passage a few months back. If you were here, remember we had the menorah up here, and we were lighting candles, the seven lamps of the Spirit. Talks about the Spirit of the Lord, who is the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. So there's not seven Holy Spirits, but there is a sevenfold activity of the Spirit in our lives. So I would encourage you to pray through those every morning. Spirit of the Lord, that's where you say, Holy Spirit, I surrender afresh to you today. I yield to you. You are the Spirit of the Lord. I yield my life to you. And you talk about wisdom. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd release a greater measure of wisdom in my life today, in my choices, as I make decisions. And you get understanding. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give me understanding into your perfect will for my life. And you get to counsel. Counsel me. Counsel me in your word. Teach me your word. I pray you'd counsel me in your narrow path you're calling me to walk in. Counsel me. Help me to make accurate long-term decisions. So wisdom, understanding, counsel, then you get to might. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would remove discouragement, weakness, confusion from my life, and I pray that you would make me bold for the Lord today. Then you get to counsel, understanding. What did I just say? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge. Holy Spirit, help me, lead me to Jesus Christ. Help me to know him on a deeper level. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. And then the fear of the Lord, that's integrity. Make me a person of integrity, Holy Spirit. I want to be a person who walks softly before you. So that's one passage you begin to pray through. Here's another one, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every morning you ask, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would release fresh fruit in my life today. You'd make me loving towards other people. That the joy of the Lord would be my strength today. Peace over my mind. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd release patience when I'm sitting in a red light and the person in front of me, the light turns green and they don't go. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me to be patient. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, that's staying power. Help me to continue in the direction you've called me to. I'm not going to quit. That's staying power when it gets hard. Gentleness, self-control, release self-control in my life, Holy Spirit. So that's the second passage. Here's a third passage you begin to pray. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Again, we've done a whole other message on this a few months back, on the gifts of the Spirit. You can go back and watch. Talk about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, miracles, gifts of healing, prophecy, the discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I would encourage you to pray every day that the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to release whatever gift is needed in every moment of need during your day. You know, sometimes we talk about as people possessing these gifts. The truth is the Holy Spirit, they're the gifts of the Spirit. They belong to him. And if he lives in you, he can manifest any one of those gifts at any time through your life. You just open yourself to that and say, Holy Spirit, I'm here and I pray that you would manifest whatever gift is needed in every moment of need today. Listen, you begin to pray those three passages, make that a part of your prayer life. I'm telling you, you're going to learn and you're going to begin to walk by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, The Apostle Paul said, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will kick that stubborn habit. You will put away that sin pattern. You will overcome. And yes, there will be some effort on your part, but you will find that over time that change happens. And you'll look back. It might not happen overnight. You look back and go, wow, I've changed. Something happened differently. I wouldn't have used to done it that way. Now, there's a scene in the movie at the end where the wolf gives away the location to all of their stuff. And he doesn't tell the rest of the crew. And so the rest of the crew comes back to their hideout and everything is gone because the wolf has given it all back. And they start to panic, like, where'd all our stuff go? And in the midst of their panic, the snake does something that is very out of character for him involving a push pop. Watch this.
No! What? All our stuff?
Where is everything?
No!
It's all gone.
Let the scouts know this.
Where's my things?
Wolf gave away all our loot. We stole it fair and square.
Now I understand what it feels like to have things stolen from you. I don't like it. I really don't like it. We got no food. We got no money. We got no money we can use to buy food. No food we can sell for money.
All right. Okay. Here. Take it. Oh. Now stop crying, buddy.
Oh. Snake? What did you just do?
What? My friend was sad. I was just cheering him up.
You did a good thing. For me.
Don't be ridiculous. I just put your needs before my own.
Yeah, you're being good.
I'm not. I was simply making a sacrifice so Shark could be happy.
That is the actual definition of being good.
Snake, you, the worst one of us, the most selfish,
spiteful,
terrible,
sneaky,
dishonest,
insensitive,
manipulative,
snake-like,
stanky.
And your point is?
I think Wolf was right. Maybe we could be more than just scary villains.
So the snake did something entirely out of character for him. He gives away the push pop. He puts the needs of someone else before his own, something he had never done in the whole movie. In other words, he changed. And what's funny is that it just came out of him. We saw the scene before where he was trying with everything he had to give the shark the push pop and said, nope, not doing it. But now in this clip, it just falls out of him. Here you go, man. I'm gonna put your needs before mine. And everyone around him was like, what happened to you? And when we walk by the Spirit, here's what I want you to see. Change will happen in our lives, and it will be noticeable. There will be times where you say, you know, I used to try so hard to be patient. And now it just comes out of me. How does that happen? It's because it's not you producing it. It's the Holy Spirit producing it. When you're walking by the Spirit, change will happen in your life. It will be noticeable. Now, it won't be overnight, but it will come with time. And it's because you're walking by the Spirit. So if you want to change, you want to walk towards change in any area, you got to walk in community. You got to walk in the newness of your mind. You got to walk in truth. And you got to walk by the Spirit. Now, in closing, as I said at the beginning, we're coming up on time here. The question the movie gets at is, can bad guys become good guys? And the answer in the movie is yes. There are some things they did, but really all it took for them in the end was to change course and to start doing good. And of course, that works with Hollywood movies. But real life, as you know, is often much different than the movies. In fact, the Bible says there is only one person who is good. That's Jesus Christ. And yeah, you can clap for that. And the rest of us, get it out now, because here's the bad news. The rest of us, because of the sins we have committed, no matter how much good we do, will forever fall short of God's righteous standard. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. You know, some hear that and say, well, you know what? I'll just make up for the bad I've done in my life by doing more good things, doing a bunch of good things, as long as I can make up, you know, and then do enough good things to outweigh my bad, maybe I'll be, you know, I'll be good in the end and everything will go good for me. But again, real life is often much different than the movies. You don't become good by doing good. You are declared righteous by God through trusting in the only one who is good, Jesus Christ. And when you're in him, goodness will begin to flow from your life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, he was perfect, to be the offering for our sin, meaning he was placed on the cross, nailed to a cross, and my sin, your sin was placed on him, and he paid the price for it. Why? So that we could be made right with God through Christ. And when you repent of your sin and place your trust in Jesus and what he did through his death, burial, and resurrection, you are not only declared righteous in God's eyes, but you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. And when you're a new person in Christ, not only are you forgiven of your sin, but you can be set free from the sin in your life that keeps you bound. So as we close, I want everyone to join me, and I want you to stand, and I want you to join me in prayer this morning. And as we enter this moment, I'm just going to pray right now. Lord, I ask, Jesus said in the Bible that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And so, Father, right now, I pray you would draw every person that does not know you to your Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you feel the Father calling you this morning, knocking on the door of your heart, it's time to surrender your life to Jesus. And I want to help you do that. I want you to pray this prayer with me. You just say, Jesus Christ, I surrender. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of the forgiveness only you can offer. I repent of my sin. I place my trust in you, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. I thank you that through your death and resurrection, the old is gone and I am a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, friend, if you prayed that prayer today, the Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing with you, and we're going to rejoice with you as well. Come on, church, give it up for all those who just prayed that prayer. If you surrendered your life to Jesus today, you are a new creation. And I want to encourage you to text yes to that number or to pick up a yes packet in the lobby. It's a gift from us to you that will help you in your journey with Jesus Christ. So proud of you for making that decision. Guys, thanks so much for being here this morning. Hope you're enjoying the series that we're in. And hey, if you need prayer for anything, we'll have a team down front. We would love to pray with you. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday.